Show me the money. With our powers combined, we have AI safety. And wake me up before you bug. These stories and much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Build the impossible at CompTIA ChannelCon 2023, running August 1st through the 3rd at the Venetian Resort in Las Vegas, Nevada. Join other technology innovators and peers to solve problems and create new opportunities in 3 days of learning, collaboration, and transforming your business and career. Speakers include Eric Anthony, Aaron Chernin, Vince Chrysler, Bob Coppage, and ChannelCon's 2023 keynote speaker, Mick Ebeling. Be inspired. Build the impossible. This $1,200 value is yours at no cost when you register with promo code SBOIT23 or scan the QR code on your screen.
Good morning and welcome to the July 28th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
I am excellent. Eyebrows on fleek. Just got a haircut, jumping into ChannelCon next week. How amazing. I am so excited. Oh my gosh. I get to see my tribe. Like, these are people, and also drinking buddies, and also people that we commiserate with, and also people that we evolve ideas with, and also people that we look at saying, are you crazy? How are you doing? Why are you doing it? Oh, that makes sense. Excited about it. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. Can you imagine? This is my first ChannelCon. Semi-famously last year, actually going to the airport at 3 a.m, I fell down the stairs in my house because I was trying to Hercules take my luggage and everything in one shot. And
was that a year ago?
Roly-poly tumble, and my knee was fucked up. So.
Oh my gosh! Well, we got dolphins out early.
Yeah. Got to get it out of the way.
But was that really a year ago?
It was a year ago. It was a year ago. Crazy how it is. So, Tony, I imagine you're going to be taking a plane flying to ChannelCon, are you not?
I am.
Okay. Well, and you're not taking British Airways, I would imagine, coming from Florida to Vegas.
I am not.
Okay. So you won't have this problem, but passengers on British Airways on a flight from Turks and Caicos to London with a layover in the Bahamas, the plane had a food shortage, and the resolution from the staff on the plane was to give a single piece of KFC chicken to each of the passengers on the plane. Apparently, they handed out pieces to passengers. They only got one chicken leg, and they were not happy about it. You can only imagine the puns calling it a cheeky situation, and they gave refreshment vouchers to everybody when the flight was over. What's your worst airplane experience?
I really wanted to say, please say cannibalization. Please say the staff says we are going to choose the weakest passenger and we are going to distribute them with barbecue sauce. No, I'm just kidding. I'm always terrified about these situations, but at the end of the day, let's be blunt, any amount of nutrition or sustenance is appreciated. And what a horrible place to be, where you have to be the visual representation of everyone starving and you have to make a decision. So no matter what your decision is, it's going to be ridiculed. It's going to be, you know, I feel bad for the staff. I really do. But at the same time, listen, I would take in someone else's chicken wing. I'm like, I'm taking that chicken wing. I'm taking it.
Well, and so here's the genius of it. I don't think they knew this. And if they don't, they should be following TikTok, because that's how I found this out. KFC, when you buy a bucket of chicken, will refill it for free in the same visit.
Wait, but they only bought one?
Yes, this is absolutely true. Yes. This is in the line with McDonald's have birthday cakes that you can ask for. Abso-freaking-lutely what? True. Yeah. Which part? The birthday cakes or the chicken?
Oh, all of it. Like, all of it. This is a show about educational data for the MSP community. You just unleashed like a monster that is ubiquitous to everyone. Come on, Ray. Don't confuse you. If you confuse the audience now, we're like the one stop. We're going to be, you know, we're going to be Twitter, the everything. Oh, it's not Twitter now.
It's X. And yeah, you know what? If people want to know how to get the birthday cake or how to get the refill of the bucket, they should go to that little Discord hosted by Amen, where we talk about all of this fun stuff. But for now, what do you say we get into the news?
Let's do it. And my first story from PRNewsWire.com. IBM Security's 2023 Cost of a Data Breach report shows the average global cost of a data breach reached a record $4.45 million, that's US, a 15% increase over 3 years. The rise of detection and escalation costs by 42% indicates more complex breach investigations. Of the surveyed organizations, 95% had multiple breaches and, interestingly, 57% chose to pass incident cost on to consumers. AI and automation greatly reduce the data breach lifecycle and costs, with organizations using these technologies experiencing a lifecycle 108 days shorter than those not using them. Involving law enforcement and ransomware cases have saved victims an average of $470,000. However, only a third of the breaches were self-detected, with attacker-disclosed breaching costing almost $1 million more. In light of these findings, IBM suggests investments in AI, automation, and quicker threat detection and response that are crucial to reducing breach impacts. Other notable findings include higher breach costs in multiple environment attacks and soaring healthcare breach costs. Ray, healthcare, ransomware, and breaches. Oh my! Like we're saying the same thing over and over, and it's becoming a calcified fact that is absolutely terrifying. What are your thoughts on this?
I want to go home. No, I mean, you know, I look at this stuff, and I just, there is a thought process that there is a business decision, a business reason for saying we're not going to pay for security. We're just going to pay the incident. We've seen that with security. We've seen that with recalls, with bad businesses in the past, right? Auto manufacturers are known for this, right? Yeah, we know the seatbelt's broken and it'll snap off if you're over 45 miles an hour, but the average driver's 30 miles an hour. So let's see what happens. And then they pay out the millions, but it was cheaper than the hundreds of millions if they would have had a recall, right? And so, hell, it's not that far back. What is it, 6 years ago, the Sony breach, where their CISO said, it wasn't a CISO, it was VP of security, whatever it was, but had said that, you know, there was proof that for years he knew about what was potentially going to happen. And there were, it surfaced that there were actual conversations saying, we'll just pay it if it happens. And they had years of not paying for security. It's not how I would do business. It's not, because there's the intangibles, right? The loss of confidence from your clients, the employee disruption, there's so much more. It's like your house getting broken in, right? You never feel completely comfortable ever again. It just changes your life. So I don't think they're accounting for those. I think they're just looking at raw dollars in, raw dollars out. And I think it's giving them an unsubstantiated confidence in their decisions.
I feel like this is becoming ambient, but it should terrify everyone. However, I love dropping little fact bombs during this amazing podcast that we have here. Fact, every year, 150 people die from a coconut falling on their head in the United States. I want you to process that for a moment. Now, does this mean that everyone should change the way they walk for that? The answer is no. However, if in addition to that factoid, we find a proliferation of coconut trees everywhere, well, then we have to do something about this. And I think that's where we're at. I feel like we are on the precipice of understanding that as everyone moves towards a cloud environment, everyone moves towards a remote worker environment, as everyone moves towards a decentralized, in some aspects, workforce with a centralized authentication mechanism and the ability for something to proliferate from one of those disparate users to others. I think we are seeing the rise of coconut trees everywhere. and I think it has to be addressed. I don't know how to do this. I love to say that the U.S. government is getting involved. I love to say that we're not seeing the U.S. government themselves actually making mistakes at a security level, which we've reported here on the MSP Dispatch. But we have to start somewhere. It's like we almost like we have to join forces to make a collective effort. We probably will talk about this again, but speaking of joining forces, Ray, talk about the big forces getting together.
Tony, you're absolutely right. And we have some good news. Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, and a startup are getting together to do a Voltron-esque AI safety forum. In this article written by Courtney Jackson on CNET, Google, Microsoft, OpenAI, and startup Anthropic have teamed up to create a frontier model forum aimed at establishing safety standards and responsible development practices for frontier AI models. The group's focus includes determining best practices for AI application development, advancing AI safety research, and engaging in transparent discussions on vulnerabilities, risks, and security with stakeholders. The initiative was announced shortly after top executives from these companies met with President Biden, pledging to address the AI's potential dangers and prioritize public security and trust. The Frontier Model Forum is open to other organizations meeting the criteria for frontier models, and they plan to form an advisory board in the near future. Microsoft's Brad Smith emphasized the importance of ensuring AI remains safe, secure, and under human control to benefit all of humanity. As concerns about AI safety and security grow, the tech industry is urged to address issues surrounding deepfakes, cybersecurity, discrimination, and data collection. Tony, are these, I mean, is this a positive thing? You just covered a story where people aren't investing in security, and now it sounds like there's this group investing in making sure our data is secure and safe. What's your take on this?
I'd like to immediately write to management that says, hey, listen, if I am on the path of spreading my neurotic behavior, don't go balancing it out or countering it with like happy stories, your happy stories, whatever they may be. Of course, I'm kidding everyone because this is amazing. Let's rewind time. I call this mental time travel with your ability to take a situation right now and then fast forward through time just a little bit, an hour, a week, a month, a year, and input your own parameters and see what it's like there. And now you have the ability to rewind to today. So now if you rewind even from where you were at this point, mm-hmm. where you change the configuration at that origination, and now where would you be today? That ability to mental time travel is amazing. If we could take this exact model and mental time travel back 15 years ago, to where 20 years ago, where we start implementing maybe data breaches and possible file corruption that could proliferate to others, aka ransomware, could take place. Let's create the mechanisms and education processes 15, 20 years ago. Would we be here today? And the question really comes down to, what is the impact going to be of this amalgamation of, or the joining of forces from the mega Autobots, you like that? And how positive is that going to be? Am I on the right path here, Ray? Give me your thoughts on this.
I just need to say, Tony, you bring up a bunch of brilliant points every freaking episode. But for those that just heard all of this from Tony and are like, this dude's genius, this is amazing to be able to think like that at a meta perspective. He just described Terminator. He just described John Connor going back in time
to prevent Skynet. You're giving my secret away. Maybe that's not it. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to watch a movie from the 80s. Our audience won't understand this one. And then I'm going to drop bombs of wisdom. And you're going to be like, this guy is brilliant. And then the older initiate people are going to go, that's Terminator.
Dude. Yeah, no, look. I'd love to sit here and say we are learning from our past and applying it here to prevent a repetition of the past into the future. And I think that's what you're getting at, right? You're saying we learned from the mistakes. We learned that we didn't have DNSSEC. It wasn't a thought back in the day. I was listening to an article this morning where, you know, satellite security is based on the security is based on your ability to connect. Basically, the ability to plug in an Ethernet cable, that is what the security is based off of. Not authentication, not authorization, just access. So, and it was from back in the day in, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s, where having a ground station cost millions of dollars. Today, did you know you can build a ground station to communicate with satellites for under 10 grand at home? Did you know you can go to AWS and GCS right now and Azure, and they have ground station as a service? And there are active hacking attempts right now for satellites. It is insane.
Ray, if your next Amazon purchase has anything to do with a ground station, I am going to be so angry with you on video. I will be furious, which, by the way, I'm totally on Amazon right now saying ground station, less than $10,000.
No, I'm not going to do that, because you know what? This story gave me all the unicorns and rainbows. It's like seeing a puppy, you know, playing with other puppies and kittens and ducklings. And I just want to keep riding that wave of just wholesome goodness, security going in the right direction. Just like your next article, right?
Ooh, yes. That's right, Ray. In my next story from bleepingcomputer.com, over 900,000 MikroTik router OS routers are at risk due to a severe super admin privilege elevation flaw. That's CVE-2023-30799. The flaw allows attackers with existing admin access to elevate their privileges to super admin, thus enabling them to take complete control of a device. According to a VulnCheck report, exploiting this flaw is not much of a challenge, as MikroTik Router OS doesn't prevent password brute force attacks and a well-known default admin user. Even though this exploitation requires valid credentials, the lack of basic protection against password guessing makes the routers vulnerable. The flaw was initially disclosed in June 2022 and subsequently fixed by MikroTik in October of 2022 and July 2023. However, the VulnCheck report found that 474,000 devices are still vulnerable due to remote exposure of the web-based management page. As the flaw can be exploited over Winbox, a MikroTik management client, the total number of vulnerable devices is estimated to be around 926,000. Ray, we just finished talking about Autobots getting together and preventing bad things from happening. But while this small army of big, big players is getting together to help everyone, a million little players are coming out of complete ignorance and saying, whatever, anyone can do whatever we want here. What am I missing here? Does it matter how many big players get together, or is this going to be something else?
You know, I want to be positive. We had a positive second story. You broke my heart on the first story. You're playing with my emotions, bro. And what's killing me here is I want to be positive. I want to see the bright side. I want to be that optimist we all hope to be. And then I remember how many freaking times we covered Fortinet and the Zyxel backdoors, and how many times we've had to tell people MFA. I'm about to go Sam Jackson next time I say MFA.
And you came up with the term LastPassy. It's very LastPassy.
LastPassy. You know, you got too many beans in your MFA and you get LastPassy. Now, and so it kills me because these things should not happen. And here's where I think this is going, right? If going back to your John Connor thing, your complete ripoff of Terminator. But like going back to that, I think that this is going to further empower companies like Microsoft that says, we're not making it easy for you to turn off updates. We're going to require them because you've shown yourselves incapable of keeping up with things. And let's be clear about it. Microsoft says it a million nice ways, and you know they're all partner first and all that jazz, but they absolutely know the general public is screwing up and they're forcing updates. And I don't hate it. I do hate that they also use us for QA. That seems like a really bad, really bad position. But I could say the same thing about firmware updates on firewalls, on IoT devices, on switches, on everything. And there's a million reasons guys like us, women and men like us, do not have auto update and don't want auto update on enterprise equipment, right? I'm a service provider. I run data centers. I can't have my switches rebooting in the middle of the day. I get it. But at the same time, you know, they go, MikroTik goes to fix this, and how many devices are going to be open, right? The last time we did this with MikroTik, it took a hacker logging in to devices and forcing updates. And then he left a little note saying, I updated your device.
Oh,
right?
My gosh.
Like,
well, can we talk about what you said, though? Because you've hit on something. Let's address this. You said very clearly that the vendors are seeing what we are capable of and what we're not doing. In the, I'm reaching back here, in the 60s and 70s, do you understand how many people were literally violent over, you can't make me wear a seatbelt? You can't force regulation. I want lead in my paint in my house. There are regulations
put in place. Asbestos. It's the
asbestos. I want asbestos in my roof.
And that was brought up during COVID with the masks. I saw now I wasn't watching TV in the 70s because I was born in 79, but you know, I saw the commercials after the fact. Like, I saw them on YouTube during COVID with the masks, whereas people were comparing it to that. And it was like, you can't force me to wear a seatbelt. I'll never buy a car with a seatbelt. Right now, my auto drive on my Cadillac doesn't work unless you had the seatbelt on. So little inside baseball or a little oversharing here. As a big dude, my previous car seatbelt didn't fit. So I just got in the habit of not wearing it. I know I'm an asshole. You can, you know, whatever. You can yell at me on Discord. We'll put the link to Discord below. Just yell at me there. Fine. So when I bought the Cadillac, I didn't even think twice about it. And I started driving. And I'm like, this stupid auto drive, the super drive doesn't work. And there was some other stuff that just would not turn on. And I'm like, it's a freaking, they told me the Escalade was going to have problems. They told me it's buggy. It's like a Land Rover. And I'm arguing. And then one day, just out of the blue, I put on my seatbelt. I was telling my son to do it, telling my wife to do it. And I go, and I just did it on autopilot. And I'm like, oh shit, the seatbelt's comfortable. It works. And the auto drive little freaking light came on. Like, I'm ready. It's like, but forcing me to do the right thing resulted in a proper outcome.
I don't hate that. But because let's look at everything we just said. I know we're running out of time, you guys, but from the MSP's perspective, vendors, how dare they do a push update? Let's pause for a moment. The people that are listening to this show, the MSP Dispatch, are looking for more information. They're looking to evolve their processes. They're looking to cross-pollinate their processes in the comments to others and better themselves and better the community as a whole. This is a very small subset of the larger audience, which needs to be restricted from lead in their house paint, asbestos in their walls and ceilings, and maybe each got to wear a seatbelt. I mean, at the end of the day, that's the regulation they need. Now, how do we find a happy medium? That's the question, because it applies to the vendors.
And that's the part that I wonder. And that's, it's, do we say security updates will be required, but optional updates, feature updates will not? That's kind of the path Microsoft's going a little bit, right?
When does a feature become a security issue? I mean, we're talking about, when does chemistry become biology? There's such a weird point mix there. And I think that little point is going to be the contention for our MSP community.
The one thing I know for sure is that it's going to be uncomfortable for all involved, but it's probably going to be a necessary uncomfort. With that, tell us how uncomfortable you want to get. Tell us how you absolutely hate this idea. Yell at me for not wearing seatbelts for years. Go to our Discord. We want to have all the conversations. But for now, we got some notables, right, Tony?
We got notables. Let's do it.
In my first notable mention, Windows 11 KB502-8254 update fixes VPN performance issues and 27 other bugs, written by Sergio Gatlan for Bleeping Computer. Microsoft has rolled out the optional update KB502-8254 for Windows 11 version 22H2. It addresses 27 bugs, including those impacting VPN performance and audio display devices. The update resolves issues with disappearing audio and display device after system sleep caused by excessive address resolution protocol ARP requests on wireless mesh networks with aggressive throttling. This non-security preview release, intended for testing before August 2023 Patch Tuesday, does not include security-related fixes. The update also fixes power consumption, user mode printer drivers, and Windows Defender application control, otherwise known as WDAC. A known issue affecting the release pertains to provisioning on Windows 11 22H2 enterprise systems, for which a temporary fix is available. The link to the article will be in the show notes below. In my second notable mention, Ignite introduces AI for content governance and secure collaboration, written by Pedro Pereira for Channel Pro Network. Ignite, a multi-cloud content security and governance platform, has integrated generative AI models to enhance content governance and collaboration. Users can now search and summarize information within documents and media files without physically moving the content, ensuring compliance with governance policies and data security. The AI-powered help desk introduced with the release aids MSPs and IT consultants in providing services to end customers, potentially reducing help desk requests and improving project margins. Furthermore, the AI capabilities are accessed through a chat-based interface, enabling users to compile summaries, find specific objects within images, and generate transcripts of audio and video files. Ignite's AI features increase user productivity, saving an average of 3.4 to 4 hours per week in file editing, collaboration, and content discovery.
And my first notable mention from Engadget.com, Bing Chat powered by OpenAI Tech is rolling out to Chrome and Safari. Microsoft's Bing Chat, powered by OpenAI and ChatGPT 4, is now expanding to Chrome and Safari after previously being exclusive to the Edge browser. The rollout is in testing, available to a select group of users, and to access it, users need to be logged into their Microsoft account. The service has some limitations in these browsers. Prompts are limited to 2,000 characters as opposed to 4,000 in Microsoft Edge, and conversations reset after 5 queries instead of 30. And users are constantly prompted to download Edge. Bing Chat differs from ChatGPT 4 as it has access to Bing Search, thus offering more updated information and resources. A recent paper suggested that ChatGPT 4's capabilities have declined, but this has been contested. Microsoft has also introduced a dark mode for Bing Chat. And in my next notable mention, bleepingcomputer.com has a story about Apple fixing a new zero-day use and attacks against iPhones and Macs. A story by Sergio Gatlin. 37450 and CVE-2023-38606 have been actively exploited in attacks against iPhones, Macs, and iPads. The WebKit flaw, CVE-2023-37450, was part of Apple's rapid security response updates. Their kernel flaw, CVE-2023-38606, on the other hand, was exploited in older iOS releases. It's part of a zero-click exploit chain used to deploy the triangulation spyware via iMessage exploits. Apple has backported patches for another zero-day vulnerability, that's CVE-2023-30409, addressed in May for devices running tvOS 16.6 and watchOS 9.6. The updates, which include improved bounds checks, input validation, and memory management, were implemented across macOS Ventura 13.5, iOS and iPadOS 16.6, tvOS 16.6, watchOS 9.6, and Safari 16.6. The affected devices span a range of iPhones, iPad models, and Macs running macOS, Big Sur, Monterey, and Ventura. This brings the total zero-day flaws patched by Apple since the start of the year to 11.
What up, y'all? Phil Buck here, and for today's AI Roundup from TechCrunch by Kyle Wiggers, Stability AI releases its latest image-generating model, Stable Diffusion XL 1.0. AI startup Stability AI has launched Stable Diffusion XL 1.0 and its most advanced text-to-image model to date. Available on GitHub, Stability's API, and consumer apps ClipDrop and Dream Studio, the model generates more vibrant and accurate colors, better contrast, shadows, and lighting. It has 3.5 billion parameters and can produce 1 megapixel resolution images in seconds in multiple aspect ratios. Improved over the previous generation, it also includes advanced text generation capabilities, inpainting, outpainting, and image-to-image prompts. However, the open source nature of the model raises ethical concerns over potential misuse by malicious actors, including creating harmful content and non-consensual deepfakes. Stability AI has taken measures to mitigate harmful content generation and continues to improve the safety functionality of Stable Diffusion. The company has also faced criticism for using artwork in its training data without artist consent, but says it respects artist opt-out requests. With the release of Stable Diffusion XL 1.0, the company has also introduced a fine-tuning feature in beta for its API and expanded its collaboration with Amazon's Bedrock platform. And the headline that caught my attention about this with the new release is that this has the ability to generate readable text. I had to go test it out, so I prompted a beautiful cake with icing that reads, "Way to go." And as you can see, I had one success, but the others still leave a lot to be desired. So I always have to check these things out and see how they're working. And that's it for today's AI Roundup. Let's check out some community events. There are plenty of amazing upcoming events taking place across the community, so let's see what's happening this week. On August 1st through the 3rd, an in-person event, ChannelCon 2023 in Las Vegas, Nevada. And also on the 3rd, another in-person event, Kaseya Datto Connect Local in Doral, Florida. Also on the 3rd, another in-person event, Kaseya Datto Connect Local in Christchurch, New Zealand. And on the 5th through the 10th, an in-person event, Black Hat USA in Las Vegas, Nevada. And coming from the MSP Media Network this week, we have on Sunday, July 30th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, MSP Community Live is back for Episode 5. And on the 1st at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Wins and Losses Episode 3. Also coming on August 4th at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 38 at 38, Episode 15 with Kyle Spooner of Intellicom Technologies. And as always, on Tuesdays and Fridays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, MSP Dispatch presented by the MSP Media Network.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. And if you didn't, go and hit it 3 times. And if you want to hear more, go and hit the subscribe button on the YouTubes or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode or leave us a voicemail. 833 MSP Network. Tony, this was a roller coaster of emotions. I'm sad. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm in the future. I'm in the past. Come with me if you want to live. I don't know what's going on, sir. All I know is I feel better educated for it. But I appreciate it, though. I appreciate it. This is not a boring show. This is a show that you're going to take the ride with us. And at the end of the day, you're going to say MFA is okay. That's all I got.
I appreciate you, brother. I appreciate our audience. It is great sharing information. Everything from, hey, here's the ransomware and firmware, ransomware that's happening. Here's the firmware that's available that you should take care of right now. Here's how you can enable features in your car by putting on your seatbelt. Here is ways to have a more creative media channel by absolutely plagiarizing with pride 1980s movies, and no one will know until your co-host reveals them. There's so many things that we can talk about on this show and share with others. I appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you too. Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Be safe, everyone.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Good morning and welcome to the July 28th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined by my... I need to do that one more time, sorry.
And now rewind even further back a month ago to where you changed one... What'd I do?
No, I was rewinding.
Oh, okay, let me.
And this while I was muted was the Doctor Strange thing with the time stone. But of course I was muted. Because hey, why wouldn't I be?
Wind it up. Shut it up. You're talking.
No.